What is going on, guys? Naeem Alobaidi here. I hope you're all having a wonderful October heading into the holiday season. I'm super excited to make this video and talk about why Bitcoin's next move is crucial as we head into 2020 and how this relates to the total stock market, as well as gold and other traditional assets and commodities, and what we're seeing right now in the total cryptocurrency sphere. We're going to be looking at Bitcoin dominance, taking questions from our live audience, and I'm also going to be giving a book away at the end of this live stream, Principles by Ray Dalio, my favorite book, as you guys know. And I'm super excited to get this live stream started. And by the way, I am healing quite well from my car accident. I cannot wait to get back on some consistent content here on YouTube. So thank you all for your amazing well wishes. I'm recovering a lot better and I'm going back, towards 100% health here. So super excited about that. But let's definitely talk about what's happening here with Bitcoin. So you can see right now at this, at this level that we're at, we're below this volume right now. We've got a lot of volume in this area, but we are still below it. And I think the biggest reason we're staying in this zone right now is we're starting to see altcoins see some momentum. But for the most part, when we look at Bitcoin dominance, you can see we're also quite stagnant here. But what I like about this chart is we are starting to head down where all of this volume is at, towards that support level. And when we look at total cryptocurrency market cap, we're not necessarily seeing that type of decline. You can see we're staying around that $200 billion market cap level. And we know this is a very strong level of support in regards to the total cryptocurrency market sphere in general. And I think that's something that's very important to notate, because if you guys are part of our Discord group, you know we've been having a lot of big trades with altcoins. You can see BCPT, WPR, and if we go up, you can see we've got all of these altcoins that are starting to see a lot of profits. You can see CHZ here, 35% profits, but I don't believe we're going to necessarily see a full-on altcoin cycle, because what we've seen over the last few months is the fact that Bitcoin is proving itself as king in this market, and this is the asset that people are watching. This is the asset that institutions are watching, and I think they're waiting for Bitcoin to start heading towards more reasonable levels in order to start putting more liquidity into this market. Because you can see right now at this level, and when we look at market structure, which is extremely important in determining future price action, you can see we're at this level where there's not really much market structure holding us here. You can see if we look at this area here, right now we're below a previous resistance level. When we look here, we're at and above a previous support level. When we look here, we're in the middle of this major zone here where we saw this big drop and a big push up. And so right now where we're at is a very, very important area, because if we start to see any downside, I don't believe we're going to see any significant downside below the $6,000 level. And I'll tell you exactly why. When we look at this chart here, you can see this area at that $6,000 level is where we have a lot of volume here to the right, as you can see. And we know that in fact, this area is where we saw some very good consolidation previously for Bitcoin. And as soon as it went below that, this was the accumulation phase in which we saw smart money come into the market and took advantage of this big run up. But in the overall cryptocurrency sphere, when we look at confirmed transactions per day, you can see here on this chart, we're seeing the confirmed transactions per day level out around that 300,000 transactions per day level. This was the peak in 2017 when we hit $20,000 for one Bitcoin. You can see we didn't quite get to that same exact peak here. But what I like about this chart is instead of seeing a major drop down, we're starting to see it in a healthy phase of correction versus an unhealthy phase of correction. And so when we look at Bitcoin in general, in comparison to traditional markets and commodities, which are actually performing really well this year, it's still the top performing asset of 2019. And therefore, I don't believe institutions are just going to leave it on the table. I think they are waiting to go ahead and put more liquidity into this market, as diversification is a very important part of safe investments. And I am very confident that institutions are eyeing this just based on regulations and how things are maturing. Now, unfortunately, Bitcoin ETFs are still not approved. We've seen decline after decline by the SEC when Bitcoin ETFs are on the table. But I believe that over time, once we start to see more regulated markets come into play, we're going to then see more confidence with regulations that will allow Bitcoin to then see some liquidity from institutions come in. And so I want to take some questions from our live audience. I want this video and this live stream to be more relaxed here. It says here, bad video settings. Let's see here. Hopefully the video is not lagging here. I hope things are looking well here. I see we have Mr. Sandeep, Asim, and Veer on live. He says, may Lord bless you always. Thank you so much. Yeah, I did get into a car accident recently. That's why I have been off of YouTube and making content. But in that meantime, I went ahead and we revamped the whole Discord. For those of you that aren't a part of our Discord, the link is in the description below. It is a free Discord to join. We do have a premium group where we post crypto, Forex, stock, and BitMEX signals on a daily basis with myself and almost a dozen analysts that we have on our team. But if you guys want to join in, I highly recommend to get into the conversation on a daily basis. We're having amazing updates here. And so I've been focused on that. We've had some very good results. But now that I am recovering, I'm excited to get back to making content, which is what I love to do. And so in the overall perspective here with Bitcoin, I don't believe this is an area that's dangerous to start entering in positions. However, there is a possibility for further downside. I wouldn't be surprised for us to go ahead and start to see a little bit of a correction down towards where we see this volume in order for us to then see more liquidity come in and for this to start to head towards some higher levels. And I think a big part of this recent downturn with Bitcoin has to do with the overall traditional markets. Let's pull up the S&P 500, for example. There was really this huge notion of a potential recession coming this year, especially when we saw this top here form, and then we saw this very large correction here. They got quite scared, to be honest here. And you can see we had a bearish divergence with RSI, where we saw price action form two peaks, one lower high and then a higher high. And then looking at RSI, you can see there was a divergence with a higher high and a higher low, a lower high following that higher high. And so I think that was an initial reason for people to get back into these safe harbor assets, these assets such as gold that are limited in quantity, Bitcoin limited in quantity being the digital gold. And I think that's one big reason we saw gold and Bitcoin see a very nice push up. Gold breaking highs since 2014, Bitcoin coming out of its bear market. But now that we're seeing a little bit more strength, you can see we're forming new highs in traditional markets. That to me is showing that potentially institutions started to put some money into these safe haven assets like Bitcoin. We saw that pump up, but now they're starting to liquidate their investments, going back into some stocks, going back into traditional commodities, seeing that there is still very much strength in the market. And, really when people are expecting a recession, there typically isn't as bad of a recession. And I think that's a very important thing to note here. You can see this recent correction in the S&P 500 from September of 2018 down to around January of 2019 was about 20%, which could, be the correction people were expecting, but it wasn't that bad. And I think it's because people were expecting it. In 2008, that was unexpected, and that was a very harsh correction. But in 2019, it wasn't as harsh. If you read Principles by Ray Dalio, by the way, owns one of the largest, most successful hedge funds in the world. He says there's a market correction every 10 to 12 years. This 20% correction could have been that correction. But I think right now is a very crucial point in not just Bitcoin, but in traditional markets, because you can see we're waiting to see, is the traditional S&P 500 here going to continue to see newer highs? Is it going to continue this uptrend? Because obviously other markets like the NASDAQ are going to follow. You can see with the NASDAQ here looking a little bit different. You can see it's almost like we have this double top, but we've got this strong support here from this previous top. And now we're starting to see some consolidation around these highs, and we're starting to see more liquidity flow away from Bitcoin and gold back into traditional markets. And I think that's a big reason we're starting to see this drop in Bitcoin here. Now, when we look at the weekly moving averages, you can see here, we've got this support on this weekly moving average here. I believe this weekly moving average right here is the 100 week moving average. You can see that 100 week moving average in orange here is holding us right now as support for Bitcoin, but we have that potential to go down to that 50 week moving average, which would also take us to that $6,800 level, which would coincide with that previous analysis we just did on the daily chart, where we may see that potential correction down to this high volume area of 6,800. And so I think that area of 6,800 is the place to watch. That doesn't mean we're not going to see opportunities here when we're, you know, leverage trading. Like, for example, our BitMEX signals, we've had some very good short signals. We've had some very good long signals taking advantage of this initial pop here. We had a signal at 7,800 that went all the way back up to 8,800. We were able to get some very healthy profits there. I wouldn't be surprised for us to see another movement up and maybe another movement down, another movement up before we see a actual ultimatum here of us going to a higher high or lower low here. Now, another potential, in my opinion, is for us to possibly head towards that 9,000 level before we see the final correction down to that 6,800 level. I don't think that is the most, probable scenario, though, just because of the fact that if we start to head past 9,000, I think that we'll see a lot more volume come into the market and we'll start to see this correct back up towards the upside into that bull market. But for now, we are obviously in this area where we just don't know whether or not it's going to go up or down, but there's that high potential for us to see that lower, that lower price of that $6,800 level. But, you know, you see these analysts posting that it's going to go down to 3,800 or 2,800 or Bitcoin is dead. That's just not the case. At the end of the day, we have a lot more use case. We see a lot more, institutional adoption. There's a lot more U.S. regulated exchanges like Gemini and Coinbase, Binance opening up a U.S. Binance. You know, these are all great things for this market. And, some people, they ask, well, why is, the U.S. so strict when it comes to this market? Well, the U.S. is a very strong economy and they want to protect their investors. That's why only accredited investors can invest in hedge funds, right? It's because they just don't want random people putting their life savings into these volatile assets and then lose it and then figure out, okay, well, now I don't have my retirement, or now I just lost all of the savings that I've saved up for the past 10 years, And so the U.S. is very cautious with how, just everyday people are exposed to potential investments. And so when it comes to Binance US, the reason they went ahead and separated the main Binance platform from the US Binance platform is because they limited the amount of tokens that could be placed on there based upon which tokens have US regulations in place and are approved with the SEC. And so these are all great things for this market. It shows you market maturity. And once again, it's still the top performing asset of 2019. So if you're losing hope in Bitcoin, that's the time to start having hope in Bitcoin. Like Warren Buffett says, he says, when the greedy are fearful, be greedy. When the fearful are greedy, be fearful. And so I think that's a very important thing to watch here. Shaw A says, I recently got done with Ray Dalio Principles audiobook, 14 CDs long. Good job, Shaw. I will be giving away this book here to one of you guys watching, for those of you that stay tuned here on our live stream. So make sure you guys like this video if you guys want to win this book, and we'll go ahead and ask that question at the end of this live stream and get you guys this amazing book on financial markets. And most importantly, in my opinion, his principles of life and the way he lives his life is important, because Ray Dalio is a very private person his whole entire life. He's an introvert and he ran one of the most successful hedge funds in the world. It's the largest hedge fund in the United States with over $120 billion in managed funds. And what's interesting is in 2008, his hedge fund lost, I believe, don't quote me on it, but less than 2%, while most funds lost over 50%. 90%. So it shows you the type of accuracy and the type of the delicacy that Ray Dalio takes towards managing his hedge fund, and it all comes down to his processes and his systems. He talks a lot about that in this book, and so I cannot wait to get you guys that book. I've also got a lot of other things that I am putting into the works for Traders Profit Club. As you guys know, for those of you that are premium members, we recently added almost a dozen analysts. So we're getting signals here on a 24/7 basis, not just covering crypto, covering BitMEX, covering stocks, covering Forex, covering crypto. For those of you that are just on the Discord and the free chat, you can actually see all of the premium results on the free signals chat. We post signals here and there as well on this chat here. But for the most part, after this live stream, I'd love to do a voice live call with some of you guys if we have some time. So that might be exciting for us to all chat together in a voice chat. But let's answer some questions and start to actually look at the total cryptocurrency market cap chart here, because I want you to pay attention here to Ethereum. Let me actually pull up Ethereum really quick. When you look at Ethereum, you can see we had this this breakout recently before we saw Bitcoin break that major support level. We saw Ethereum get liquidity and we saw this major buy volume come in, but you can see it topped out around that $366 mark in June of 2019. And as of recent, when we look at Ethereum's chart, we actually saw this huge, huge drop and then that push back up to around $221 until we saw that sell-off. You know, really what I'm seeing with altcoins is the fact that people are not as confident with these altcoins as they are with Bitcoin, just because of the fact that, you know, the fundamentals are changing quite a bit and we're just not seeing as much use case with these altcoins as people expected. And that's something that we've always talked about on this channel. It's something I've always talked about, the fact that 90% of altcoins are not going to be here 10 years from now. And I stick with that rule and that belief. And the reason is because the altcoins, for the most part, never had use case. And so Bitcoin is the one and only token that has, you know, almost 100% market visibility. If you go to anyone and say, have you heard of Bitcoin? They'll most likely say yes. But if you say, have you heard of Ethereum? I'd say 1 out of 5 would say yes. And so Bitcoin is the one asset that has been able to really get that mass adoption. But really what's happening at this point, in my opinion, is regulations are still holding it back. And it's just a matter of time until we start to see the regulations kind of lean away from Bitcoin. And it's all because of the time. You know, it just takes time. Bitcoin, it's the top performing asset of this year. So we cannot lose hope in it. And at the end of the day, these corrections are extremely healthy, especially in this bull market. This isn't the type of correction we saw in 2017. 2017, we saw a blow off top. It went all the way back down to around 10,000, shot back up to 17,000. Then it started to see a huge correction back down. This was a very healthy consolidation. People had a ton of time to take profits at the $10,000 level. We hit $10,000 and $11,000 quite a few times. You know, at the end of the day, only the people that weren't necessarily trading the market or just weren't aware of the market are the ones that kept holding their Bitcoin during this push down. But for the most part, if you were able to get your position below 7,000 and it when it hit that $13,000 or $14,000 level and started to consolidate, most of you were able to go ahead and obtain your profit. So it wasn't as much of a violent push up. It was very healthy and very, I would say the best way to put it is, it was more of I don't know how to say it. I would say, you know, it was how it was supposed to be. You know, that's the thing with Bitcoin is this: when Bitcoin goes up, it goes up like crazy. When it goes down, it goes down like crazy. And the reason for that, in my opinion, is because it's a global market. When you look at most markets like the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, you're strictly limited to US investors, or you look at, you know, the European markets, or you look at other markets, it's just one specific demographic or geographic area that can invest in that asset. Whereas with Bitcoin, if you're in India, if you're in China, if you're in Japan, if you're in the US, if you're in Canada, if you're in South America, you're able to buy into it. And so in my opinion, it's a representation of the overall global economy versus just a representation of a strict geographic area, you know, and that's what it's all about. It's that decentralized, you know, that mantra of decentralization, you know, and so that's really the most exciting part here. Mitch says, Sniper is back. Yeah, I got into my car accident, recently, and thankfully I'm healing quite well, and I am excited to get back on content. I've been on the Discord every single day, which has been fun. Been able to really revamp that, you know, add new analysts, and we're just getting better and better. You know, right now what we do is, with almost a dozen analysts sending out signals, we have specific analysts set in place to just filter out signals. So when, you know, each analyst is sending us 6 to 10 trades a day, whether they're a stock analyst or a crypto analyst or a BitMEX analyst, we pick one or three. We have an analyst pick 1 to 3 of those trades. So it's a second filter, and we've seen a huge improvement with our results by doing that. And so we're super excited to just continuously improve our, you know, our product and our service to you guys to ensure that you're able to just go on with your daily lives. And you know, we're here behind the computer screens doing all the work. I don't know if you guys know this, but you know, if we look here, I've got 6 screens here that I'm able to do analysis on for you guys every single morning. Sometimes at night I'll do my analysis, and then it gives me the ability to send out those positions to you guys. So you're not doing the hard work. I'm able to do the hard work for you. And our analysts are doing the same exact thing. They're on their computers doing what they need to do so that when you get that trade, you don't have to be on a computer to trade it. You can just be on your phone, input those levels, properly manage your risk, and do what you need to do. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not just about trading. It's also about holding something for the long term, right? The most successful investors are the ones that dollar cost average into an index fund, for example, and just wait it out 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And then they look back and, you know, I think Fidelity, one of the largest, institutional, providers for trading, and also a huge, huge provider for mutual funds. They did a study on who are their most successful investors. They looked at all of their accounts. They were like, who are their most successful investors? And there were two categories that won that. The first category was people that are dead. They were one of the most successful investors in their funds. And then the second category were people that had accounts and forgot about them. So, you know, when you think of that and you realize, you know, just understanding markets, understanding the art of dollar cost averaging, and then understanding how to trade, these are all skills and principles that could allow you to not have to work a job, you know, that it can allow you to travel and make money. It could allow you to make good financial decisions long term. And so, you know, it's all about diversification. You know, I like to say put, you know, 90% into a safe haven asset, you know, maybe an index fund that's already diversified, you know, into, you know, maybe even the whole stock market, right? So instead of purchasing one stock at a time, you're in an index fund, you're exposed to the whole market. And so you're maximizing your diversification, minimizing your risk, and then take the 10% and use that for trading, right? Because if you lose the whole 10%, guess what? At least you're 90% safe. And that 10% could make you a full-time income. That 10% could be enough for you to make 3, 4, 5 grand a month in order to sustain yourself. And so, and then the rest put into, you know, an index fund that will build your wealth long-term for when you retire, for example. And so, you know, it's just understanding the art of compounding interest and the art of time, right? You give yourself time and you're able to build a successful portfolio versus just being, you know, unaware and just throwing something into a market that you just don't understand and losing your money, for example. And so you just don't want to be that person. You know, I know a lot of people are buying Bitcoin at these highs here, but it just wasn't the right time to get in, right? You know, these are the times that you want to start thinking about putting in long-term positions. But once again, it's all about dollar cost averaging. And I as I mentioned before, you know, I just don't see us seeing much lower levels beyond that $6,800 price point. And one big reason for that is when we pull up those 3 moving averages, as we just showed previously, what we're really looking at right now is, you know, we found support right above that 100-week moving average. And then when we look at this 50-week moving average, we still have that area here to start seeing that potential correction down. And so I think that's very important to notate here. Let's go ahead and pull up another chart here for you guys just to actually look at the shorts and longs here as well. When we look at shorts and longs, you can see shorts are having a fun time and we're at these lower areas. When we look at longs here, you can see they're staying more consistent. We're not necessarily, you know, we're not seeing as much of some volatility with the longs. You know, just in general, you know, being long on Bitcoin, I think there's a study that was done recently that said anybody that's held Bitcoin for more than 2 years has never lost money. I think that's extremely interesting. So let's see if there's any other questions, and we may move into a live call on our Discord. If you guys want to chat here, let's see here. Maven says, why does everyone trash XRP? You know, they have a very centralized approach with the way they govern their company and they govern their token, you know, just randomly burning tokens and things of that nature. I want to give away this book, by the way, and I actually know what I want to ask you guys to give this book away. And for those of you, whoever wins this book, just send me a DM on Discord. You can just find me here on the right as a TPC admin here, and you can go ahead and I'll ship that book right out to you. Whoever answers this question first on the live stream, you can get the book. When I talked about Fidelity doing a study recently, what were the who were the two most successful categories of accounts when it comes to their study? If you answer that question right, I'll go ahead and send you this book here. And it's a little bit late here, so I want to wrap this baby up, but I wanted to make sure we were able to go over Bitcoin, this major move that's happening right now, and why it's crucial for 2020, because I think 2020 is going to be the year for Bitcoin. People think 2019 was the year. I think it's going to be 2020. I think that's when we're going to see more shakiness in traditional markets. I think that's when we're going to see more shakiness in real estate. And I think that's when we're going to see more liquidity flow into Bitcoin as a potential safe haven asset, as it typically does with gold. But now, being the fact that Bitcoin is here, we're able to see that perform in its entirety, because when Bitcoin was created in 2008, if you look at the white paper, it was for the recession. And so we'll be able to see it act upon what it needs to act upon here. So let's see here. Danny says, dead people and the ones who forgot the count. Danny L, you win. I see Kyle Melvin answered it right. Slow and Steady answered it right. I might give away another book here at the end of this live stream potentially, so don't